You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. We got an awesome show today. We really, really, really do. Although, shows have been kicking some serious ass this week. Very entertaining. And how can it not be entertaining when you have the raging redhead Cam Stewart in studio? Cam's going to kick it with us for a couple of segments today. We're going to send it to Las Vegas, Nevada. Brian Blessing will join us. It's been a couple of months since Double B. Brian Blessing has been on the program. He's a big shot now. He's buddies with the owner of the new Las Vegas hockey team. I don't think he wants to be associated with the ilk of me and Cam Stewart, but he is today on the Fantasy Sports Network. Mark Lawrence will join us from South Florida, although Mark is originally a Clevelander and a very proud Clevelander right now. Mark Lawrence will join us. We'll talk about the World Series. NBA, of course, tipped off last night in Cleveland as well. Cleveland was the place to be last night. We told you last week, man, Cleveland rocks it. They rocked hard last night as the Chicago Cubs suddenly find themselves down one game to none. A little bit of an alert for you, except you probably know that because if you're watching the Fantasy Sports Network, you already know everything about sports. Unlike the tools to watch those stupid other networks. You already know that the game's been moved up an hour, actually. They're actually starting this game at 7 o'clock tonight, which I like. I'm down with. Why wait till 8? Let's do this thing. Help. Start right now. Let's go. Let's go. But teams that win game one of the World Series, there's been 110 World Series. The team that wins game one won 70 of them. So 70 and 40. The Cubs are in a 40 and 70 spot right now. The Indians ain't sexy, man, but they just find a way to win. Something the Golden State Warriors did not do last night. So yeah, we got some hockey picks for you. We've got basketball picks for you. We've got football picks for you. We've got baseball picks for you on the program today. And I've told you guys time and time and time again, and I've been saying this for years, man, and I've been doing this moving on 15 years now, that October is the best time of the sports year. Nothing beats it. Nothing beats it. How good was last night, man? The NBA regular season is tipping off. How good was it in Cleveland last night? NBA season tips off in Cleveland and basically across the street. Oh, yeah, it's game one of the World Series. You know, there's other good times of the sports year, you know, but, you know, the April's pretty good. You got March Madness and the start of baseball. But really, what matches up with October, man? You got NFL football. You got college football. You got NBA basketball. You got NHL hockey. You got playoff baseball. College basketball is ready to tip off. Hell, we even have 10 UFC events in between November the 5th and like the end of the year. Nothing beats it. It's a great time of the year to be a sports fan. Horrible time of the year to be a bookie in Cleveland. And, you know, I was thinking, remember that old show there with Mike Rowe? What was it? The World's Worst Jobs or something like that? Now, I'm sure our cameraman would say that the world's worst job is standing here having to listen to Morenci every day and dealing with Pat Mayo every day. That's actually the worst job in the world. There's worse, guys. There's worse. The pay might not be worse anywhere, but there's worse. There's worse. These guys are going to leave mid-show. What's this? Oil riggers make a lot of money? Yeah, so what are the worst jobs out there? Like coal miner, oil rigger? I think exterminator is pretty bad. You know, killing rats for a living kind of sucks. I would imagine like possum and stuff like that. But you know what else is the worst job in the world right now? Being a bookie in Cleveland. As you know, every Johnny Sixpack and Chief Wahoo is laying it down on the tribe and the calf. Think about the sadistic bastards that bet the local hometown parlay. Because that's the thing. No matter how good or bad the teams are in whatever city you're in, people are betting the local teams. And the bookies live and die with this. I remember in Montreal, years ago I lived in Montreal, and there's a lot of Greeks in Montreal. Greece won the Euro Cup. It was like 85-1. You know, all these Greeks, man, they didn't bet because they thought Greece was going to win. They bet because they're Greek. And they bet like $500 and $1,000 on the futures. Bookies disappeared. Normally, it's like the gamblers that disappear. Bookies were going right for the airport. Hey, what happened to Spiro? He moved back to Greece. He owes like $160,000. Two guys won. Like, it's one of those type of deals. You know, like, honestly, if I'm a bookie in Cleveland now, I'm like, yeah, the Cavaliers are favored by 16. Yeah, but it's only 9. It's 16, all right? It's 16. Although, let's be honest, bookies in Cleveland have had it pretty good over the years, with the Browns sucking, the Indians sucking, and the Cavs sucking over the years. Think about being a bookie in Boston. Like, how do you survive? How do you survive? Like, it's impossible. You know, the Red Sox seem to win every damn night. The Celtics are suddenly, the second-best team in the Eastern Conference. Supposedly, they're not, but that's what the odds makers think. And let's not even get into the Patriots covering every week. But, hey, nobody's going to be crying for a bookie when it's all said and done, and nobody's crying for the Golden State Warriors except me, because I was stupid enough to have them in a moneyline parlay last night. Now, I told you the Warriors are going to win a ton of games this year, but don't bet them to win the championship, because regular season basketball and postseason basketball are two different things. Well, you know what? The Spurs postseason their asses last night and beat the crap out of the Warriors, who are already ready to hit the panic button right now. But I'll tell you what, I'm enjoying the ride, because there's not a better type of the sports here. Now, only if the National Football League can stop sucking rocks, and then we'd really be partying. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. All right, Game Time Decisions live on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I got to tell you, this show feels a lot like a show that we used to do in a previous incarnation. As we've got Brian Blessing, Cam Stewart, and Mark Lawrence on the show. Sounds very score-ish to me right now. It's like a flashback. I'm like, what year is this? I mean, that's why I'm wearing a baseball hat today. It just happened naturally. So let's just cut the small talk. Like Krusty the Clown. No monologue. My feet hurt. Let's bring in Mark Lawrence right now, playbook.com. I want to get to as many games and topics as possible on the show today. Mark, it's always a pleasure. I know you're feeling good today. Cleveland Indians up one game to none.
Yeah, we're sort of living large. Clevelanders are right now, Gabe, after last night watching that Game 1 World Series victory, then the Cavaliers before that getting their championship rings. It was really quite a day for everybody in Cleveland, and we are certainly Believelanders today.
You know, I did a little intro off the show, Mark, and I talked about the world's worst jobs, you know, exterminator, you know, coal miner, etc., and bookie in Cleveland right now. And you think about it, you know, last night, like, you know, the Cavs win and cover, the Indians win. You know every Johnny local was, you know, calling their guy and betting the home teams. I had the Cavs and then the Indians. How many people parlayed? I'm kicking myself I didn't parlay it, the Cleveland connection last night. But for people who aren't aware, there's, you know, online betting's still big, but there's still a guy in every city, right? And there's a lot of guys in Cleveland, as you know, Mark. I'd say Ohio and Pittsburgh, almost like the most bookies per capita in the world, isn't there?
Well, I used to be in that profession, I should say, before I got into this. So I can relate to exactly what it is you're saying. And, you know, the only time these days that those guys in Cleveland are open for business is Sundays for the Cleveland Browns. They'll take all their action.
Yeah. How many bookies' phones didn't work last night? Cell phone problem. Sorry about that. But I got a line on that Browns game if you need. Like, it's funny because I was talking, you know, I was kidding too off the top. Like, if I'm a bookie in Cleveland right now, I'm like, yeah, the Cavs are minus 12. It's like, yeah, well, it's minus 9. No, it's minus 12. And, you know, the Indians, no, it ain't plus 100. It's minus 125 if you want it. And so let's start off here. I'm buying in right now. I'm not getting in the way. You're a trend guy. Here's from the Morency database. Terry Francona, now 9-0 in the World Series, Mark. I'm not getting away of this at home right now.
You can't do that. He's never lost a World Series game. He's got this team in control right now, feeling awfully good about themselves. But that's a great stat. Francona, perfect in the World Series.
And incidentally, it's funny because I got into it with Mike Cardano earlier in the week here. Cardano's a roto expert fantasy guy. Sharp baseball guy, though. Smart guy. And I think he says things just to try to stir the pot a little bit. But he said that it was a major advantage that the Indians, because I said this is probably like the greatest managerial matchup in recent memory in a World Series. And he goes, well, one of them's great. And he goes, what's Madden ever done? Overhyped by the media. I was like, that's crazy talk. Madden's a great manager. But if we're just looking at results right now, Francona 9-0 in the World Series. Madden now 1-5 in the World Series. Lost 4-1 with the Rays.
Yeah, by comparison, the numbers are all in Francona's favor. I think my answer to Cardano in that, what has he ever done? My answer would have probably been, get the Chicago Cubs to the World Series.
Yeah, and I I brought this up, and a bunch of jockasses here, a bunch of numbers kids. Anyone, I could have managed the Cubs to the World Series. That's not true, man. You know, a lot of teams have had talent and not made it. Like, you know, Joe Torre was a key part of the Yankees winning. It wasn't like you or I could have sat there and won all the time just because we had Derek Jeter.
Yeah, you absolutely have to have somebody in command that you can rely on, trust on. You know, he's the guy, Francona, that makes the moves. The moves this year have been really successful going to the bullpen. They really secured that bullpen when they acquired Andrew Miller in August. That's really been Cleveland's strength moving forward here, and he feels awfully comfortable when you pull a Corey Kluber out of the game, who's pitching one of his best games of the year, and you can go to the bullpen. You can feel pretty confident about that.
All right, so teams that win game one of the World Series, as I alluded to, are 70-40 all time. So the Cubs are in a 40-70 spot. Jake Arrieta on the hill. Last year, Cy Young Award winner. So normally, you know, you would think, oh, Arrieta, this is money right here. Not as sharp in a postseason. Hitters are hitting 273 in the playoffs against them. They only hit a 194 in the regular season. Arrieta's not on top of his game right now. Bauer's kind of an unknown. And, yeah, if we want to look at this on paper, yeah, Arrieta's a better pitcher than Trevor Bauer is. But I tell you, Mark, come October, man, I throw this stuff out the window, man. It's about making plays, playing defense, and being mentally strong. And the Indians are all that. I got no issues with Bauer. And Francona plays it like a maestro. Wouldn't shock me if Ryan Merritt got in here. You and I talked about Merritt last week. That Merritt's going to be good to go. A Clevenger will be good to go. Miller, you know Miller is on no pitch count right now. You got him going again. I don't have any concerns with Bauer. I like the Indians again today.
I do, too. You take a look at the Indians. They've won 7 of Bauer's last 18 starts, so there's nothing wrong with him on the mound. On the flip side, Jake Arrieta comes in here. He's lost 3 straight games starts in October, and he's also dropped 5 straight road starts on the road with a 7.03 ERA, so nothing spectacular at all about Arrieta's numbers here. I think the momentum rides with Cleveland, and I'd be with you on Bauer and the Tribe tonight.
Well, speaking of momentum in Cleveland, before we move on and talk some football right now, actually, what do you think about the series? Actually, Mark, you're a maestro when it comes to playing the series price. Series price is now -110 for both teams. All right, so the series price is -110 for both teams. I think the Indians win today, but then there might be some value buying into the Cubs going home for 3, right?
That's exactly how I'd play that, Gabe. You know, right now there's value to Cleveland right now at Pick'em. You know, they were a 2-1 dog before, so maybe value to the Cubs that way if you look at it from that side of the coin. But I think you make your best monies in series after 2 games are played, and it appears to be a decisive edge to one team or the other. That's when you do the fade, and that's what I would do here. If the Cubs lose tonight, I jump in on them in Game 3.
Yeah, you can jump in on the Cubs and probably get them in the +200 range. It'll be interesting to see what the market adjusts here. And quickly on this, with the total at 7, the Indians are 8-1 to the under in the playoffs. It's another trend that just keeps coming in.
I'd look that way here also to the under here tonight. A little earlier start here, an hour early because of expected thunderstorms in Cleveland tonight. But, you know, you've still got Bauer. He's in really strong, what I call walk-to-strikeout ratio form, KW form. 21 Ks, 4 walks, his last 3 starts. Arrieta, 14 Ks, 3 walks, his last 3. So they're both around the plate. Both pitchers are. That could mean, again, the Cleveland bullpen is the decisive factor. If they get into the pen late enough in the game, the under looks to be the side.
NFL ratings have tanked in prime time, and I'm not sure the Jags and the Titans are going to move the needle for Roger Goodell. They do have the Eagles and the Cowboys on Sunday night football, but going head-to-head against what would be Game 5 of the World Series if it gets that far. So Jags and Titans on the board. I don't want to spend too much time on this game, Mark. I'll break it down tomorrow with Teddy Covers and company, but you know, a number that caught my eye in your playbook is the fact that the Titans are 4-22 straight up and 4-20 and then 2 against the spread last 26 home games. Brutal.
Brutal stretch, exactly right. And Mike Mularkey, their head coach, doesn't help matters before he got there, he struggled in home games. He himself, just 3-15 straight up into the spread his last 18 home games. And this team keeps coming favored in situations like this. I think the Jaguars are the right side of this contest here tonight. I think they're the better football team. Those numbers are in support of the Jags. I take the points.
Well, Mark, I don't know. Is it Thanksgiving? Because guys, I swear, Thursday night college football, man. It's like a Thanksgiving slate or something like that. You know, it's like that post-Friday or something. The only thing that's missing, I'm surprised they're not playing Thursday afternoon games this week, Mark, on the college grid. But, man, we got a full slate of games. We can't hit them all, but we got a big game in the ACC Coastal Division with Va Tech and Pitt. First thing that caught my eye here is, wow, why are Va Tech laying 4.5 on the road?
Yeah, unbelievable. You take a look at this Hokie football team, road favorites the last 5 years, 4-12 to the number. I mean, they haven't handled this role particularly well in the past. And you've got a Pittsburgh football team that, while their defense isn't quite what they expected it to be in this situation, this particular year, they're winning football games. This is a huge game for the Pitt Panthers at home as an underdog. I'm with you. I'm scratching my head wondering why they're the dog in this game.
You know, it's funny. I think there's a perception probably. I don't know how many people would realize that the Pittsburgh Panthers score 38.4 points per game. Only Louisville scores more.
Yeah, that's unbelievable, especially inside that conference. It's Pitt. You wouldn't think to be a team going up and down the field here. You look for more like you say, the Louisvilles of that conference to put numbers up like that. But, you know, they can go toe-to-toe with anybody. And if Narduzzi's defense comes around like it did when he was a defensive coordinator at Michigan State, this team could be trouble in the second half of the football season. Keep an eye on them. If the Pitt defense improves, they'll be a factor down the stretch.
I like the over in this game, too, Mark. 56.5. Jared Evans is a good quarterback for the Hokies. They're going to be able to move the ball. You know, Tech are scoring 35 a game. The difference is Tech only gave up 17. That Pittsburgh Panther defense is leaking, giving up 31 a game. I like the over 56.5.
I couldn't disagree, because the Pitt defense right now is a little bit of a surprise. You scratch your head and you wonder what's going on. They've given up, the Pitt defense, 27 or more points in every game, every FBS game they've played this year. So he's got to shore things up. The one thing Pitt doesn't do is turn the football over. You take a look at the last five games, only two turnovers by the Panthers. If they play it clean, they can also take home the money.
Mark, I loaded up on Cal on Friday. It was one of my biggest plays. I really liked them against the Ducks. I thought I was a real smart guy when it was 31-14, and then I was sweating and crying like a little girl at about 2 in the morning Eastern time on Friday, sweating that game out in the end. You know, I don't know what it is, but I guess it's because of the Hawaii game. But, Mark, it's one of these weird deals. I watch everything like you do, but I've actually watched every Cal game in its entirety for some reason. Like, I'm not a Cal fan either. Like, but I like high scoring football. From an NFL standpoint, I like watching Davis Webb and like, you know, how he's developing, because, you know, and how it could translate into the National Football League. He's a guy that the NFL scouts are loving. And anyone that's watched this guy play, he's making NFL caliber throws. So this is an interesting football game. Helton's got the Trojans back on track, but like you wrote in the playbook, the Trojans are who we think they are, right? They lose to good teams. They beat up on bad teams. Cal's not a good team, and they're not a bad team. They're sort of in the middle here, but they got an awesome offense that can score on anybody. And, you know, we got a USC offense that sputtered a little bit. Cal getting 16, total 75.5.
I look at this game here. If you take a look at what Southern Cal's done, they got 3 wins in a row coming in. They look like they're back on track, as you say. But take a look at those 3 games. They put up 40 points on Arizona State and Arizona. They only put up 21 on Colorado. So they can take down, like you say, the weaker sister teams. They struggle against the better football teams. He's got them playing good football. They've convincingly won in the stats 4 games in a row. But I think the number's a bit tall in this game here, especially with California, a potential backdoor-type team who can throw the football, score points in the end here. I have to grab the points here.
Yeah, and Cal won't quit, exactly. They'll just keep playing pitch and catch right to the end with Sonny Dykes. I think the spread's a little bit too high here, too. Cal putting up 43.7 points per game. They give up 41. Cal have scored 40 or more in 6 of their 7 football games. They beat the Utes, actually. 28-23 is the only game that they did, and they actually won that game. So, you know, Cal, it's funny, Cal's defense, they give up a lot of points, Mark, but they do have playmakers. You know, their kids do make plays on defense. They do come up with a couple of stops. Cal's an intriguing team to me.
Well, you know, you look at their numbers, and they look a little bit soft defensively, but by comparison, they're really on the improve from the team Sonny Dykes had when he first started with this team here. They were a 500-yard defense. You know, they're more in the lower to mid 400-yard range here right now as we're speaking. Played respectably. Arizona State, second low season yards, 450 yards to Oregon last week. That was pretty much of an accomplishment, too. You're talking about an Oregon defense or offense that only put up 450 yards in the contest. They can play a little bit of defense, California, and if they can stay in this game.
All right, and in closing, as far as college football is concerned, Washington and Utah, fourth-ranked Washington Huskies, go into Eccles Stadium. This number shocked me, and I don't know. I don't even want to talk about this to get the word out, but same as last week, UCLA favored by 7 against Utah. I was like, all right, let's take Utah. Here we are, run once again. Utah getting no respect. Yeah, the Huskies are 7-0. You know, the Utah Utes are 7-1. Mark, you know, with that one blemish at Cal against a tough place to go and win up there in Berkeley this year. Utah are a good football team. Spread's too high, in my opinion.
A real Rodney Dangerfield game here for Utah. Lack of respect, unquestionably. You know, amazingly, you're talking about college football. There's 9 undefeated teams right now. 7 of them are playing this weekend, and all 7 are on the road. And I'm bringing this out because if you look at undefeated football teams at this stage of the season, from Game 7 out on the road, they are 77-77 straight up when they're taking on a 6-66 or better team. What does that mean? That means that these undefeated teams lose their first game of the season half the time in the role in which they're playing this weekend here. 7 undefeated teams on the road this weekend. Watch 3 of them come home with a loss.
And I know we got to get out of here, but there's a few of them with West Virginia. And one that I disagreed with you on, though, was Baylor and Texas. You think Baylor falls into this trap, huh?
Well, you know something? When we did the newsletter, I made a call to Baylor in the game, but it dawned on me. They're undefeated. They have a week of rest. That's a big thorn. Week of rest, undefeated teams breaks momentum. Charlie Strong fighting for his life. He got the casual vote for me in the contest, Texas.
We got to get out of here. Excellent stuff as always. Check out Mark's newsletter over at playbook.com and all the information about his website if you want to win. Thanks, Mark.
Hey, Gabe, enjoy the games. Be good. Thank you.
And playbook.com available on your mobile device at the Google Store or Android. All right, we take a quick break. The Raging Redhead and Brian Blessing coming up next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Having a lot of fun on the show today. We're kicking it old school. I tell you, Kent, it's got an old school vibe to it today. Brian Blessing, Mark Lawrence, Cam Stewart, and Morenci. We've done this show countless times in the past. Although, I've had Mark Lawrence on for nearly 15 years now. Never realized he was a bookie before.
I was loving your opening segment. I'm like, with some of the dudes I've dealt with, I'd love Mark. Mark Lawrence seems like that friendly, understandable bookie that gives you the rollover instead of shaking it down for a few $100.
Now, the man that joins us right now can't be a bookie because he doesn't have enough money to pay you if you win, but I can guarantee you he's owed a bookie money in the past. Brian Blessing joins us. What's up, Brian?
Well, I was just going to say, are you guys going to admit in a former life you guys were altar boys?
Pretty good, Brian.
That was good. Right out of the gate.
So, hey, Brian, Mark Lawrence, I just said, it's funny we're talking about. I said it's a bad time to be a bookie in Cleveland right now, especially with the Johnny Local betting the local teams. And he said, I used to be a bookie, but I know you used to be a scalper, actually, and you actually sold tickets, didn't you, the last time the Indians were in the World Series in 1948. What were you getting for the tickets, Brian?
I don't think Marlboros were invented then. I might get a pack of Viceroys out of the deal.
Yeah, they were smoking Laramies.
Yeah, in those days, the real Marlboro man was like 4 years
exactly.
old, Cam. Hey, last time the Cubs won the World Series, Babe Ruth was 13.
And,
it's like the Leafs last time they won the Cup. It's the same deal.
Yeah, you know what, though? I was talking about this last night, guys. What do you think about this, Cam?
Yeah.
Listen, when it comes to, how long, and it's like, I'm tired of hearing people in Chicago and Cleveland both cry about it.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with, like, Montreal Canadian fans. Like, they mock the Leafs. Oh, you guys haven't won since 67. The Canadians haven't won since 93.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like two virgins. If one guy hasn't been laid in, like, 60 years, and it's like another guy that hasn't been laid in, like, 48 years calling the other guy a loser.
Yeah, the guy got lucky one.
You're a real loser. You haven't been laid in 60 years. You're both losers. That's what it comes down to.
I mean, really, Gabe, I think that analogy hit a little too close to home for Cam.
To be honest, I think it's me. Cam's doing good. Cam's doing all right.
I'm hanging in there.
Cam's doing all right. You can tell, you know what? You can tell how much sex is someone having if they saw Saturday Night Live or not. If they saw Saturday Night Live, you know they're a loser with nothing going on. And I'll put it this way. I've seen a lot of SNL this year. You know, Baldwin does a great Trump.
No, he does. He's doing a great Trump. Trump.
Are you a Mr. Trump? Are you a good role model for children? No.
No.
Next.
So, wrong.
So, Brian, you're in the middle of this. Hey, like Nevada's a big swing state, man.
Yeah, they're doing the early voting thing, and they've been out here, you know, countless times. President Obama was here over the weekend. What a train wreck when these people come here. I mean, the roads can be squirrely enough, but they just shut the city down when they show up.
Once had to sit in McCarran Airport for 4 hours because of Air Force One showing up, right? It was ridiculous. I got to tell you, if Barack thinks that you're getting people to vote Democrat by going there, all he's doing is pissing people off. People don't want him going there. And it just, you know, they're trying to get to the sports book and you got like a convoy in front of you. It's like, yeah, look, there's Air Force One. Good. Leave. All right. So nevertheless, Brian.
Blessing's not a fan of Obamacare. Don't get him going.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, Cam channeled his inner Obama the last time he came here. He flew in at like 11 o'clock on Wednesday night and flew home at noon on Thursday. I don't know what the hell that was all about.
Yeah, it was tough. Me and this guy from Auburn just got smoked on the blackjack table. I don't even have enough to get time to get it back. Man, I don't like those quick trips. They suck, Morenci.
You know what? Last time I went to Vegas, Brian, I opened up a ball of vodka on the plane from duty free and had four of Las Vegas' finest waiting for me when I got off the plane. Thank God I have a good, sweet, I'm a good talker. Like, thank God, because otherwise I'm still in Clark County for violating federal aviation law.
This is turning the clock back, and it's kind of an inside joke, but a lot of your listeners will get it. At least you were able to drink your own bottle of vodka from duty free. Cam got one ready to take it back to Toronto, and Mike from Buffalo went up to his room and drank half of it.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Guys, when me and Morenci are doing TV shows, you look at other guys at other networks, there's like ladies partying and stuff. We got grifters, their pets, and their friends staying at our hotel using Jiffy Pop and a microwave in a room, and I wake up to Family Guy at 4 o'clock in the morning, and there's a guy and a dog in my bed. Thanks, Mike from Buffalo. Can you believe this guy? Like $39.95 a night. You can't get your own room?
I swear, every time I ever see America's Most Wanted, I'm always expecting to see Mike.
I do too, that mugshot.
Yeah, like 13 hookers have been missing. It's Road Rough Stuff. Road Stuff. But anyways.
Hey, Mike from Buffalo, if you're listening, I apologize. I just was trying to tell a funny story. I didn't think Cam was going to play the grifter card.
Didn't he have like
Mike from Buffalo? Wait, I don't know if you're there. He won $21,000.
Yeah, he won $21,000, but he's got a dog locked in the back of a truck, and some lady who doesn't know English, like, is she going to clean the truck?
He's got a dog and a girl locked up in the truck.
Yeah, he's got a dog and a girl in the truck.
We're with this guy in Vegas for 4 days, and he's like, I got to go feed the dog and give some money to my girl. And we're like, what do you mean your dog and your girl? He goes, they're in the truck. I'm like, we've been here for 4 days. What do you mean they're in the truck? He's like, they live in the truck.
They live in the truck.
I just picture some like hooker from a truck stop in Jersey.
Hey, Mike.
Chained to the back of the truck here.
Yeah. I gotta go feed the girl and the dog, but don't worry, I'll go to your room and crack the seal on your bottle of vodka.
Oh, you know what, too? The best is Mike Tipley loves the Bills.
Oh, he does. He loves
Bills.
The Bills.
Yeah, it's the Bills fans. Keep it classy. Love the Bills. All right, speaking of which, Bills and Patriots.
Uh-oh.
Listen, I don't know if you guys watch The Walking Dead, and I've upset people with my spoilers this week.
You really love this show.
But I tell you what, we pissed off the Patriots more than Rick and the crew pissed off Negan, all right? We went in there, we stole their stuff, we shut them out, we pushed them in the hallway before the game, we talked smack during the game, we mocked them on Twitter after the game.
Revenge.
Payback is a bitch. I'm worried about this one, Blessing.
Yeah, me too. And it's 6.5 minus a dime. It's going to go to 7. If you're betting the Patriots, bet it now before it gets to 7. If you're going to step up to the plate with the Bills, wait till it gets to 7. You got McCoy nicked up. Gillislee's got a foot. He's nicked up. They have no wide receivers. Maybe Robert Woods comes back. But the problem last week was their inability to stop the run. That was just an atrocity that the way they gave that game away. It's funny. You think they're pros and they wouldn't do such things. There's no doubt in that game. Second half of that, they started looking ahead to Miami or to New England, and it was ridiculous. I mean, that was a house of horrors for them Sunday. But you know what, Gabe? At some point, and I like Tyrod Taylor. I like him a lot. Finally, you know, Bills fans can say, okay, I'm comfortable. The Bills have a decent quarterback. But you know what? One of these days, man, this guy's got to step up and go down the field and win a game.
Well, so that's the thing, Brian. When do we ever come back?
That's right.
You ever notice with the Bills? If we're winning and things are going well, Cam, it's great.
Yep.
They run the ball down your throat. The second Tyrod faces adversity, oh, no, we're down 3. Yeah. We're screwed. We're helpless all the time.
To Blessing's point, Tyrod Taylor, no comeback winning drives or whatever. He's been a fantasy machine. He's been above. But when it comes to reality, do you really trust him at the end of the game when you need to win?
Cameraman
no.
Drew saying no.
No.
Our cameraman loves the Bills.
Bills
he
too.
He wants to trade for Jay Cutler.
Bring J.P. Lossman back before that.
J.P. Lossman.
What's Trent Edwards doing right now? Whatever he's doing, he's probably sucking at it.
Yeah.
That was mean. I'm sorry. That was a little harsh. Like I made it personal there. I wasn't cool. Whatever he's doing, he only does it for like 2 or 3 yards at a time. We'll say that.
Fair enough.
So far, you know, we're only 10 minutes into this. You've offended me, Mark Lawrence. You've thrown your partner under the bus and just torched Trent Edwards for the rest of his life. You're on a roll.
Trent Edwards can go screw himself. So let's talk. It's cute. Oh, his sister lives with him. I remember that. Remember the little Trent Edwards honeymoon? He was on the cover of USA Today sports section. I swear, that was the year I got popped. That was the year. He was the quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when I drove to court, they were 5-1, the Bills. I was going to court for urinating in Ralph Wilson Stadium.
Yeah.
And
I was there that day.
Yeah. Great.
Only in Buffalo. I go to pick him up. There's no TV in the lobby, but everybody in jail is enjoying the 4 o'clock games. That's great.
Yeah, I do.
I'm sitting there going, I'm not in jail. I can't watch football, and they're partying in the cell. Good stuff.
At least they let you see the games there when they put you in the tank.
I just want to tell you something. The moral of that story, I mean, that's where I actually met you guys for the first time.
Was no, that was another game.
That was before.
I met you at another game, and it was the precursor to the day you're talking about. But the moral of the story is you were so well hydrated that day that where you were going, there are all these nice little pine trees outside the stadium. But where you were hanging out that day, there's a tree that's about as tall as a redwood now.
That was strong.
I remember like I was literally standing there and I just turn around and like there's like 10 Bills cheerleaders behind me. And I'm thinking this isn't gonna end well.
No.
Like, all right, so nevertheless, speaking of not ending well, how about the Sabres last night, Brian?
Sabres.
Oh, I bet on the Flyers. The game was never in doubt.
Yeah, good choice. Hey, listen, I'll tell you what.
Let's not dwell on this because we got a bunch of games tonight. I was just busting your balls here.
But very quickly, and it's not just about the Sabres, but this guy's a disaster, Bielsma. I'm telling you, if you watch the World Cup, and I've watched this guy, and they threw all these points away last year with 3-on-3, and their shootouts are horrible. A, if you're the worst team in the league in the shootout, why are you playing to get there? And you don't put defensemen, and this is all teams, why would you put a defenseman, unless he's Carlson, an offensive defenseman, 3-on-3, go for it. Play 3 forwards. The best defensemen in the league are going to face scoring chances from the other team anyway and not going to create anything. 3-on-3 teams have to go for it. This guy doesn't get it.
I agree with Blessing. Bylsma is actually showing a lot of weakness as coach.
All right, guys. So, listen, we've got, what do we got, four games tonight.
Yep.
Habs and Islanders. Islanders, small favorites, minus 115. The Canadians haven't lost yet. I'm from Montreal. You guys do this every year in Montreal. You start off 13-3. You're the greatest thing ever. You're talking about winning a Stanley Cup. And then next thing you know, you lose seven in a row, and you want to strangle Therrien and hang him by the Jacques Cartier Bridge. I don't know.
I like the Islanders. It's a house of horrors for Montreal.
It's Halak. Montoya's playing tonight.
Ooh, yeah. Give me the Islanders.
Any feel on this game, Blessing?
Before tonight, I only got one play, one game I really like. If I looked at this one a little bit, Montoya's actually been pretty good. I would actually, in the totals low, I think it's a lower scoring game, but I don't like it.
I can tell you one thing he likes. Edmonton, Washington over.
Yeah,
I know,
okay.
Blessing's mind.
I like this game to go over. So the Capitals, minus 135 at the Oilers, 5.5. Oilers are lighting it up, scoring nearly four goals a game. Washington's offense, not fully on track yet. They only scored 13 goals. They've only given up 10 playing defensive hockey, but should open up tonight, Brian. You like the over?
Absolutely, and it's a plus price. You get plus 15 cents. You got Edmonton. Talbot couldn't stop a medicine ball last week. Then he got hot, but they were games. The game against Carolina, they missed the empty net three times. It should have gone over the total. And now they're looking at the last game. The last game was an outdoor game. You're telling me this is a plus price? The way Edmonton plays offense and doesn't play defense, even with Holtby, Edmonton gets a few. Caps are going to get a bunch. Play the over 5.5 in this game.
Brian Blessing, house of Sportsbook Radio, and now a new hockey show in Las Vegas as well, with NHL hockey set to debut in Las Vegas next season. Brian, it's always a pleasure, my man. Thanks for the time.
I love you guys. I miss you. I wish we saw you more often.
Brian, a blessing. It's not true. When I'm there, you never hung out with me. All right, we got to get out of here. We'll come back. Me and Cam, we're going to talk some NFL football.
Oh, hey, memories.
Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network. Where are you, Mike? We miss you, actually. Yeah. He's on Twitter, actually, but I haven't heard from him in a little while. I hope he's all right.
I think he's okay. I think your boy Pie Man's been on Twitter a lot. He gets frustrated, though, because every time he's watching your show, he gets called to do another long-haul drive. Bad timing all the time.
Pie Man's the best, too.
Spiro. He
Pie
went
Man's
back
got
to Greece.
A deep disdain for Hillary Clinton. I like it. All right, Ken, we talked a little football. Like, we brought up the Patriots-Bills game.
I'm scared. I think the Patriots, if that's
Brad, like, as a Bills fan, I want to say, no, we can hang with these guys.
You can't.
We're in a lot of freaking trouble in this game.
What do you think the Patriots are going to win by? Between 10 and 17?
So we got a lot of Bills fans here, too. Drew?
Patriots
are
by...
Are we in a lot of trouble?
By 10 or 17.
Patriots by 27.
27.
Drew says Patriots by 27. Warman, what are you saying? Patriots by 13.
Patriots by 13.
What do you say, Ken?
Patriots, actually, I'm going to go 10. Patriots by 10. Slight cover.
I'm going to reserve my pick for later in the week. I want to get this right, but I'm going to say, I'm thinking we're looking at like a 50-17 type deal.
Patriots by 33.
I think it might... I forgot we have a Patriot fan here.
Oh,
Reed.
Great.
I forgot about Reed.
Oh, Reed.
Yeah.
Paul E. Patriot.
Actually, you know what? We'll do a good. Reed hasn't screwed things up today.
I noticed Reed at the network when he's doing your shows. He's real nervous, Morency.
For a guy from Newfoundland, he's actually pretty sharp. Come on.
Amazing.
I'm just kidding.
I love your
rant. I lived in Labrador before.
Honestly, I love your rants at the start of the show. I just laugh every time. Spiro. There's a lot of Greeks in Montreal who are bookies. They went, where'd Spiro go? Back to Greece. Like me and Meanie were losing it out there.
That's good.
It was so good.
Speaking of the boys in the booth, too, it's Luke's birthday. The guy who does the graphics.
Happy birthday, Luke.
So, I expect him to drink twice as much as he normally does tonight.
He shakes it off pretty good.
Hey,
he comes for work. You can always, I know from a guy that drinks a lot to another guy that drinks a lot, he shakes it off well.
Yeah, Luke's going to, in a couple of years, you're going to have that bright.
Yeah, soon
nose.
You're going to feel like me, man. You get fat and bloated and red-faced. Man, you better enjoy your youth.
Yeah, you know what? You know what scared me? It was the first time I was ever in the Toronto Maple Leaf press box. Moved to Toronto. It was like, I'll get the press pass.
Yeah,
right?
Why not?
I get the press pass. I go in there. Of course, Damian Cox is a jerk to me. Andy Frost, very nice.
fabulous.
Gabriel, Morenci,
nice to meet you. Frost is the best. I work with him. Yeah. Guys on Q107, beautiful pipes. Psychedelic Sunday, great program. I love it.
Nevertheless, I was going to go.
You saw Berkey?
Yeah, so it was, yeah, Berkey. Not Berkey. I saw Harry Neal.
Oh, yeah.
And I swear to God, his nose is redder than your hair. Like, it was the best thing ever. So, you know, you watch Hockey Night in Canada your whole life and stuff. There you are. You're in an elevator with Harry Neal and Joe Bowen. And then Joe just goes, oh, God, Harry, I need a freaking beer. I just look over. And I was like, dear God, like, these guys' noses, vessels are going to pop.
Yeah. Like, cherry blossoms.
Like, people don't realize how much alcohol is consumed in the hockey world, man.
Lots.
All right. A lot of alcohol consumed in a Bills parking lot, too. So, yeah, I don't want to see. Drew gave me the thumbs up when I just said 15 to 17.
33. He likes
you
it.
You feeling that, Drew? Like, in that type of beating?
Yeah.
Tom Brady already hates everybody as it is, man. They already kill everybody as it is. We started a fight with them. We beat them up before the game. We, like, mocked them on the field. Mm-hmm. We talked crap during the game. Richie Incognito trolled them on Twitter after the game. We shut them out. Belichick doesn't like that, Cam.
No, and another thing is, if you watch the game against the Steelers, Edelman made every mistake in that game. Every throw Brady made was perfect. Like, they could have named their own number. They're going to kill Buffalo.
Just
right?
For the record, too, the last 14 times that Tom Brady's played with a revenge, he's 14-0 straight up and 12-2 against the spread.
That's revenge.
Just saying. I'm actually starting a radio hit on WEEI Boston. I'm on the Patriots official pregame show. Chalk this up to things I never thought would ever happen. But
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You got to get that guy, Sammy Hagar, the weatherman from Boston, on the show.
You're going to love me because I'm going to be saying, yeah, the Pats are going to kill him, guys. So, Jags and Titans, what do you think, Cam? What a train wreck.
I'm going to be honest with you. It is a train wreck. Blake Bortles, here's a message to you. You suck. You're one of the worst fantasy guy. You're killing me. You're killing Allen Robinson. But on Thursday night, this is what we talk about. I could see the Jacksonville Pussycats turning into a Jaguar, covering 3.5. This is the time. This is the place, Morenci. Jags outright.
No, you know what?
I'm taking the 3.5, definitely.
I like the rage with where you were going earlier with Bortles sucking.
He does suck.
How about this? You know, Thursday night games suck, and they roll out those alternate jerseys,
mm-hmm.
The color rush.
Oh, yeah.
So the Jags is the mustard color?
Yeah, what's with the – no, I don't mind the thing about what – they put a patch down the middle that is a different color from the original color. Like, what's that for?
I don't know.
They're
stupid. So Blake Bortles, quote,
yeah.
Doesn't like the mustard jerseys. Said they could have done a better job. You know who else could have done a better job?
You!
You're terrible. All right? You know, the next Ben Roethlisberger. The only thing you do like Ben Roethlisberger is drink. Like, that's it. You can pound back the beers. Good for you. You're terrible. You're a horrible quarterback in the NFL. Hey, listen, I took the Titans last week. And Dumb and Dumber beat me.
Yeah, I know.
Do we have the graphic actually up? Well, then once again, I'll admit, do we have the graphic?
What, you're, oh, yeah. Oh,
you're like this, Cam.
Oh.
What's scary? I actually look like Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber. It's actually me almost.
It's funny you mentioned that, Morenci. I was there when Mina was creating it, and I made sure I go, get that tooth more jagged. Like, it's crazy how much you look like him.
Pretty depressing.
No, it's awesome.
All right.
Sorry. It's so good, Morenci.
It's like me.
Like, look at your ears and the bowl cut. It's perfect. Dumber.
That's good. All right. So you like Seahawks and Saints. Tough one.
I got to be honest with you. I'm scared for Seattle.
I'm leaning Saints.
Yeah.
The Saints battling hard, man. They're 2-4, but they play hard. This Michael Thomas guy is a freaking stud.
Bad spot for Seattle after that debacle against Arizona. Traveling east, 1:00 game, not a good recipe for success. Drew Brees, he'll even get his against Seattle's D. Trust me, the Saints, I think the Saints are the play there. Hate to say it.
How about fantasy owners of Russell Wilson? You know how many yards he's rushed for this year? 33.
Yeah, you know
what I mean? This year. Not in a game. This year, Russell Wilson's rushed for 33 freaking yards.
On Hot Ross, we talked about it. Matt Ryan has more rushing yards at 60 than Russell Wilson. Can you believe that?
Crazy.
Brutal. Yeah.
All right. So the Redskins and the Bengals.
I lean Bengals, but those London games are tough.
Now this game's interesting, Cam, because you know I picked the Redskins. I said they're going to win the division before the year started. People are like, you're crazy. Their schedule is tough. Kirk Cousins sucks. At 0-2, Hey, I was hearing it. They rattle off four in a row, nearly five in a row, but they lose that heartbreaker last week. Jay Gruden, of course, former offensive coordinator of the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yep.
Knows the Bengals well. I don't know, Cam. You know, the Bengals aren't that good. If you look at the Bengals, they've beaten the Dolphins, the Jets, and the Browns.
I know.
Any good team they played, they've lost to.
And if it wasn't for a Hail Mary by Green, Cleveland would have covered in that game.
Shouldn't this game be a pick'em?
I don't know. I still think Cincinnati's a better team. They understand what's happening with New England winning games with Tom Brady back. This is a vital, a huge game for the Bengals. I like them by three or four. The number's three. I like them to cover, just a slight cover. They'll get it done.
This game's in London. We should
add. I know. 9:30. Yeah, 9:30. I love the London games. I love breakfast with the NFL. It's the best.
I like it if I win the game.
Yeah, if you lose the game, it sets off for a bad day.
Nothing like
the landslide, eh, Morenci?
Yeah. Yeah. That's when I hope that Spiro moved back to Greece.
What happened to Spiro?
All right, Cam. World Series.
Yes.
We got to get out of here. World
Cleveland,
Series.
You got to ride Cleveland again. But to you, I like the over in game too. I think they get over seven tonight.
See, that's the thing. It's seven. Chicago have those bats, but Bauer's been good, Cam. Arrieta's been solid, not as good. I hear what you're saying. Just the Indians are 8-1 to the under in the playoffs.
I think they get to Arrieta.
All right, so you can see Cam and Gary and Thorne tomorrow. The hot roster.
Yep.
The kids are hot. All right, we're going to come back. Speaking of hot, we'll come back with our plays of the day. We got a full slate of NBA, NHL, and World Series picks.
Hit some winners yesterday.
Winners. All right, it's time for our plays of the day. We're going to start off with the World Series. I'm going to ride the wave, man. I'm taking the Cleveland Indians here. You know, why not? Terry Francona's 9-0 in World Series games. Let's make it 10-0. So far, these games continuously keep on going under the number. The Tribe are 8-1 to the under in the postseason. Let's ride this wave as well. So let's give me the underdog Tribe and the under. Some NBA basketball. And I don't know what the hell's going on here. What happened to my sheet? Where's the sheet? We're taking the Orlando Magic. I know that. All right, there we go. Orlando Magic. Okay. Got the Magic minus three. I'm going to go Mavericks and Pacers over the number. The Pacers want to push the pace right now and run and gun. The Raptors, I don't want to lay the 7.5, but I want to get a piece of this game. I think the Raptors are going to win. Pistons don't have Reggie Jackson. That's going to be a problem for them. So let's tease this game. I'm not a big basketball tease guy, but let's take the Raps. So it's down to minus two over 192. I think it gets there. Here's a ballsy pick for you. We're going to take the Brooklyn Nets plus the 12.5. Ooh, look at the Boston Celtics. They're the second best team in the East. They're not the second best team in the East. The Toronto Raptors are the second best team in the East. And I think this price is a little bit too high. It was 13. Some sharps agree with me because it came down to 12.5. Give me the Nets. We're going to take the Lakers. Lakers plus 6.5. And this has a heart attack written all over it. But what better way to spend 1:30 in the morning on a Wednesday night watching a little... watching a little Laker Rocket action. Give me the plus 6.5. This game's going to be a freaking track meet, man, between the Rockets, Mike D'Antoni, and now we got Luke Walton in charge of the Lakers. Track meet. Give me the over 223. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.